All right, quickly sit. Praise God. Let me welcome someone beside you. Praise God.
Praise God. All right, help me in the name of Jesus. I have illumination. I have revelation. I have understanding. The word of God is clear to me now. Amen. All right, so do we do a reminder? Proverbs 4 from last week. Proverbs chapter 4. The book of Proverbs chapter 4. What verse? 20. Proverbs 4 and 20. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20. It says, my son, attend to what? My words, incline your ears unto what? My sayings, let them not depart out of your eyes. Keep them where? Verse 22 says what? For they are life unto who? Those that find them, and they are health to what? All right, back to verse 20. Let's remind ourselves of certain things. My son, attend to what again? My words, incline which part of your body? Ears unto what? My saying, 21. Let them not depart from where? Keep them where? So last week we said there are three important parts. Want, what, and what? Yeah, you could rearrange. You could say eyes and what? Ears and then what? So, but sincerely, don't raise your hand. Don't show me your hands. But I would love to believe that in this place, since last week that we learned this, you have been taking out time to put the word in your eyes or through your eyes, through your ears, and into your heart. Don't raise your hand. No problem. All right. Why is this important? Let's go to Matthew. Matthew what? Matthew 13, verse what? And then Matthew 12, verse what? All right. So let's look at Matthew 13, 15. For these people's what? Heart is what? Wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and then hear with their ears, and then understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Let's read the whole verse together. One, two, go. For these people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are full dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should. Let's read it one more time, I suppose. Want to go again? For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and then hear with their ears, and then understand with their heart, and then be converted, and then I should what? Say with me, eyes, ears, heart. Again, eyes, ears, heart. Again, eyes, ears, heart. That means if I see with my eyes and then I hear with my ears and then I understand with what? I will be converted. To convert here does not mean to be born again. To convert here means to change. Please stay with the verse. To convert here doesn't mean to be born again. To convert here is a change. And Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says, be not what? Conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? Renewing of your mind, the conversion. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means that there is the thinking of the world, and then there also is the experience of the world. So if I do not want to experience what everybody is experiencing, I need a conversion. I need a transformation. I need a change. And that change begins inside me. I need to introduce, listen please, new thought to my mind. I need to. If to me, falling ill is normal. If to me, it is normal to fall ill, and then I no longer want to experience this anymore, I need to introduce to myself a new thought. If all around me is poverty, my parents, my grandparents, my granduncles, my great granduncles, if all around me is poverty, I can reintroduce to myself a new thought on prosperity. If all around me is failure, I can introduce to myself a new thought on success. So what's happening? I'm telling myself I will not be conformed to this world's method of sickness and disease. I will not be conformed to this world's method of failed marriages. I will not be conformed to this world's way of poverty and hardship. I will not be conformed. Rather, I will transform myself. How? Open book question. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of which part of me, please? Of my mind. I need to renew my thinking. I need to renew my perspective. I need to renew my vision. I need to renew what I see. So I cannot renew my mind if I do not introduce new thoughts to myself. Does renewal of mind happen overnight? The answer is really no. And if I renew my mind once and for all, is that all I need for the rest of my life? The answer also is no. The renewal of mind is a lifelong process. It's something you consistently and continually do. You want to make sure you do not in any way slide back to where you were or the kind of thinking that you had. Back again to Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Matthew 13:15. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their heart, eyes they have closed. Lest, watch this, lest there is unless. Lest. At any time, they should what? See with their eyes and then what? Hear with their ears and then what? Watch this. That means I need healing, right? So once I can see with my eyes, hear with my ears, and finally understand this thing in my heart, what happens to me? I'll be transformed, and what will happen? I'll be healed. The same way I'll be healed, I'll be prosperous. Same way I'll be blessed. Same way I'll succeed. All I need is to work on that internal part of me. So let's look at Matthew 12. What verse? 33 or 58? All right. Matthew 12. Thank you. Either make what? A tree good and what? Is fruit good, or else you make the tree what? Corrupt. And the fruit what? Because the tree is known how? Listen, like I told you last week, the tree is known how? So by their fruit we shall... You remember that, right? So the tree is known by the fruit, but who determines the fruit? The tree. So now, that means... If I want to know someone who fails, all I need to look at is the person's fruit. Is that correct? So by their fruit we shall what? But Jesus is telling us here that the fruit is not the determinant of the final outcome. That means no matter whatever fruit I currently produce, my life ought not to be restricted or limited to that fruit. I can change my tree and I can change my fruit. This is a major key. Either you make the tree good And its fruit what? So what comes first? Tree or fruit? Tree, but what do people see? What do people use to judge you? So while they're busy judging you with your fruit, don't be moved by the judgment. Are you getting that now? And please again, don't be careless. Don't say things like, it doesn't matter. My fruit is not me. Hold on. As long as that's the fruit we are seeing, that is your current you. Anybody listening to me? For by the fruit you know them, isn't that right? Don't judge me. No, and please don't judge anybody. Tell anybody don't judge. No, seriously, don't judge. Maybe someday I need to take that a bit more seriously, but we judge easily. Let me tell you this. God only judges people based on the amount of information and revelation that they have. Hear me well. God judges people based on the amount of information and revelation that they have. Meaning, if I have an information or a revelation, you might not have same. So I could treat you or judge you as though you know what I know, but you might not. I that know what I know, am I busy doing something with what I know? That's what counts. Not, what about that guy? What about that lady? What about that person? Get busy working on your own tree. But Pastor, my tree is good. It can get better. Focus on your tree. You understand that? All right? Because we do a whole lot of that. You know, try to... Now, there are things the Bible clearly deals with, and we can place judgment, as it were, on the things the Bible is clear on. But yet again, sincerely, it's not in every believer's position to try to judge another believer. The other extreme to this is now, people now become, don't judge me. Don't judge me. My life is my life. All right? But truth is, if you don't judge them, let them live their life. Is that simple? Let me add this thought to it while I'm there. Where there is no authority, there's no responsibility. Where there's no responsibility, there's no authority. Okay, thank you. Where there's no responsibility. Now, my neighbors cannot hear my kids shouting in my house. And then come over into my house and beat my children. Is it possible? Why? It's my house. But if I'm traveling and I hand my children over to them, they can summon them, Avi. So the thing is this. You have to ask, what is the responsibility I have over this person? Especially if you are not the person's pastor, then you don't have the responsibility. So you have certain responsibilities you don't have. So you have certain authorities you don't have. And that's why, as best as possible, encourage people to act by asking them, what is your pastor saying about this? What's your pastor saying about it? So a pastor has the responsibility and then has the authority. Because is that what Hebrews tells us? Right? Hebrews 13:17, right? What does it say again? Hebrews 13:17. What does it say? Obey them that have what? Rule over you, submit yourselves. So do they have responsibility? So that means they have authority, right? Obey them that have rule over you, submit yourselves, for they watch over what? Alright, so I am your soul watcher. I'm your soul watchman. Alright, my wife is your soul watchman. They watch over your souls as they that must what? Give account, and they have to do it how? With joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable. You know, so there's responsibility there, and then there's accountability there, and then there's authority there. So he's saying all that, but I'm saying I'll deal with that at a better time. So because I get to have people ask me certain questions, and someone said ask me one today, and I was gisting my wife. And I said, this is bordering on the question on how far is the liberty of a Christian. You know, and then we had a discussion about it in the office about Christian liberty. And I gave my wife the number of extremes that are available on Christian liberty, but what the Bible says about it. And how that we eventually have to teach this. And when we teach it, it has to mature the people so they understand how to handle their liberty. Because, you have liberty. But what are the boundaries of such liberties? Do they have boundaries? But something Paul said that I love. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me. But I will not be brought under the power of anything. So I need to understand my liberty, the boundaries of my liberty, and how that my liberty must never be used as an occasion for the flesh. But there are things I can do as a Christian. It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't destroy my destiny. But I decide I won't do it. Alright? So we just have that. Well, it doesn't matter. You know, freedom can become bondage. True? Freedom can be bondage. What is freedom can actually become bondage. But you're free in Christ. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again in any yoke of bondage. So there's a lot of liberty. But as believers understand their liberty, they must understand that that liberty is not a room for your flesh. I'm in Christ, I'm free, I can be angry. Be angry, sin not. They've told you already. Is it on my TV? I could break it. Why did you break it? You were angry. You opened the door. So your liberty has biblical confinements. That the more we learn it, the better we become, the more steady we become. Alright? So I had to go into all that with the make the tree, fruit tree and all that. So let's go back to that. Matthew 12:33. Thank you. Either make a tree good and its fruit good, or else you make it corrupt, fruit corrupt, for the fruit is known how. So please, I said again, I'll say it again, do not judge. You know something? While you're busy judging somebody's fruit, the person can as at that time be walking on the tree. So you're busy looking at the current fruit. Are you getting that? So that's on one side of the person who's the current judge. You might miss it because you're judging based on sight. But I'm saying to the other believer that cares to listen, don't now say, well, it doesn't matter. My fruit is not me, and you are not doing anything about it. Who gets this thing? Don't sit there and say, well, my fruit is not me. They shouldn't judge me. If you do nothing about it, your fruit will be you. Because right now, your fruit is you. If you're doing nothing about it. Either make the tree good, fruit good, make it corrupt, fruit corrupt. The tree is known by its fruit. Let's keep going. A good man, alright, O generation of viper, who shall, how can you being evil speak what? Good things, because out of the abundance of where? The heart, the mouth did what? But how did it get to the heart? Eyes, ears. Do you remember that? This book of law shall not depart out of your ring. So it gets into the heart, through the eyes, through the ears. Next verse, please. A good man, out of what? The good treasure of where? His heart will bring forth what? Good things. And then an evil man, out of the evil treasure where? Tell him about the heart, 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 the heart. Let me ask you about what's happening in your heart. What's happening in your heart? What are you putting in your heart? What are the treasures in your heart? A good Christian brother that stores pornography inside his heart will bring forth. Will bring forth fornication, adultery, lasciviousness. Because something's coming there. You just finished praying 3 hours in tongues. Bible didn't say that by prayer you will stop the works of the flesh. It said walk in the spirit. Huh? Do you know even as you are praying, can be meditating on that sister? Can I get a yes? Okay, those that are there, sir, we need to ask you. What am I doing now? No, please feel free. I like the response. All right. So that was just a joke. Have you ever been angry and you were praying? And as you were praying, the anger was increasing. Anybody? So the prayer didn't stop the anger. Why? It seems that the prayer was fanning the flames of the anger. You need to watch something, especially with speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues emboldens. Speaking in tongues emboldens. It charges up. So if you drop a thought in your mind, as you are getting charged on your inside, that thought can charge with it. Now the Holy Ghost is not the one charging the thought. But you left the thought there and you were being charged up. And you finished praying, where is she? No, that wasn't the Holy Ghost. But your soul, you left that thought in the realm of your soul, and as your entire being was being charged, you were being charged along. That's why some kids, people can finish praying, slap somebody and not feel bad about it. Have you seen such before? They go praying, finish praying. Are you stupid, Bosa? And then they finish doing that and they don't feel anything about it. That's because, listen, you can't run on spirit alone. You run on word and spirit. You run on word and spirit. So Galatians already tells you that you will only be able to knock down the works of the flesh by walking in the spirit. Walking in the spirit there, someone says, how do I walk in spirit? Walking in spirit is not by talking in tongues. Walking in spirit is clear. It says the fruit of the spirit is love, joy. By the time you walk in love, you will not walk in anger. So the antidote to the works of the flesh is the fruit of the spirit. By the time you walk in temperance, which is self-control, for self-control, which is the fruit of the spirit, knocks out every work of the flesh. Are you getting something here, please? So a good man, like we said last week, a broke man, out of the broke treasure of his heart, someone said it brings out Brooklyn. Or Brooklyn. Question is, what then is where? You know, many times we powder our faces, wear nice perfumes, we look good, we do all the nice things we want to do, but we miss the most important part. Heart. That part where nobody sees what's going on. We spend so much time, so much money on every other part of us. And we are very careless with our hearts. You could even be in a church service. And there's a whole Holy Ghost move, like we call it. And you prophesy. And the people there say, she's on fire for the Lord. He's on fire for the Lord. But it's been a while you seriously fed your heart. The real you is that man in the heart. That's what Proverbs was telling us when he said, as he thinketh in his heart. So the real you is that. The real you. Not what you're saying. Not what you're saying. If you read how the book of Proverbs puts it, it says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. It's explained to us, said, the man will tell you, sit down, eat and drink. But his heart is not there with you. Watch this. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but what? His heart is not with you. So the real man is not the words of his mouth. The real man will be the real thought, the real intention of this man is not what he said, is what are the transactions going on in him. It's easy for all of us to jump up. Hey, I'm healed. When we are not there and the pain hits you like trailer, what comes out of your mouth? Yay, Mogwe. What do you think? What do you say? You know, because we all could be in church and be nice and speak Christianese. Oh, I believe I'm healed. I believe the Lord supplies all of my needs. Amen, amen. Shout out. Hey. And we say all that. Oh, bless you, brother. Bless you, sister. Peace. Shalom. Peace to you too. Haven't done all of that. Question is, the things we said, are they really in our hearts? Are they there? Are they taking root inside of us? Please, I want to beg you, Do not be carried away with spiritual activity, not minding your heart. And that's why Proverbs chapter 4 verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart. If you don't guard anything else, please, guard inside your heart. Protect your heart. What are the thoughts coming in? Isn't that interesting? You know, just similar to the question that Sammy asked last week. But isn't that interesting? Say, I'm healed. Say, I'm healed. Say, I'm healed. Have you ever said a negative word with a lot of boldness without knowing? Anybody ever said, I'm tired here before? Anybody? Some of us might not, but anybody? You ever said, I'm tired? With what amount of energy did you say it? Not everybody might use energy. Some just, man, I'm tired. But anybody ever said, I'm just tired? Anybody? Alright. Okay, if you don't raise your hand, do you know anybody that said it before? Anybody knows anybody that said it before? No, just in case it is you, but you don't want to say it is you. Do you know anybody that has said it before? Like that. Watch this. Watch this. Say, I'm healed. I ever said I am healed with that same intensity? Yeah? Some yes, maybe some no, right? Why am I asking? The law of faith. Mark 11, 23 says, whosoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Watch this, watch this, watch this part, please. It is not the saying. Watch this part. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that the thing which he says will what? Come to pass. Then what will happen to him? So the transaction, the energy of what you are saying comes from where? Your heart. So we find that unconsciously we say some negative things with a higher level of seriousness for some believers than when it's time to say the right thing. And another thing, when you say the right thing, you say it with guesswork. You say it hoping that as I say it, I ever said I'm healed, and I said it for 5 minutes, and after 5 minutes you are checking yourself and wondering, I ever told someone out of anger, and I will slap you now. And you were not trying to believe that you will slap the person. Anybody been there before? No, come on. Eh? I can slap you now. Did you say it believing or hoping that when it's time to slap, you'll try to slap? How much confidence you say it with? Eh? Or maybe a school teacher here, or, you know, a guardian, and then you tell the child. The next time you do that thing, maybe a parent, I'll beat you. So the child does it, and then you say, I mean what I say. So come here, let me beat you. Alright, because you want to let the child know that what? You believe what you're saying. The most important person that needs to believe what you're saying is you. Are you getting this thing? I'm entering faith and confession. Let me run out. You need it. Some people need. I know we all need it. Let's take it line by line. That's why. If not, this is recap that we've been doing since. Anybody noticed? All right. Don't worry. I'm in good company. If you listen to Casey Price can recap the last service with half of the time of the next service. He will now start teaching in the new service with the remaining half of the time, and then he enters next service again to recap half of that. For half of that time, these people are not in a hurry. All right, I introduced the workers to Keith Moore a few times back. Keith Moore can take one teaching, 18 weeks, 13 weeks. Okay, maybe not, I'm not sure I've seen 18, but 13, 15, 11. That means every Sunday you come and it's the same topic, and he's not in a hurry. Because it's not how many points we cover, it's how well you understand what we're saying. Matthew 12:35, please. Matthew 12:35. Yeah, alright. A good man out of the good treasure of where? His heart brings forth what? Good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what? Question. We have man, we have treasure in the heart, and then we have the things. Have you noticed that? A good man out of what? Good treasure of the heart brings forth what? Hold on. A good who? Man out of the... So you underline what? Treasure of the heart, right? A good man. So underline man, good man. Out of the good treasure of the heart. So underline treasure that is where? So circle heart. Underline treasure in the heart. If you get to heart, you can now circle it. Brings forth what? So we find good in how many places? No. Yes, no. We find good in how many places? So good what? Man, good. Then good. Again, good. Man, good. And then good. All right. Now, the one treasure, say the treasure part well. If you miss heart, you've not said treasure. A good man, then good. Treasure where? Where? Treasure can be in the pocket. Treasure can be in the bank. Treasure can be in the ground, right? But this treasure is where? In the heart. Then it brings forth what? Please, one more time. A good man out of the good treasure brings forth what? Please, I know you know the answer. I know you should know the answer. But indulge me, please. Answer the question. Of these, which is the most important? The man, the heart, the things. I know you know that is the question or the answer you expect that I am expecting that you will give me. But please tell me what you understand. Which is the most important? The man, the heart, or the things? Our answers are changing gradually. I know you know what I'm going to say or what you think I want to hear, but what do you understand? The man, the heart, the things. What is most important here? Man, heart. Alright, if you say man, why man? Okay, it's time for group discussion. If you say man, why man? Alright, if you say heart, why heart? Okay, you're raising hands. Good. Alright. The heart. Because what's in the heart makes the man? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It is a good treasure in the heart that makes the man a good man. So that's how he's able to bring out good things. Who agrees or disagrees? All right, who are those in the opposing party? Opposing party, all right. The man has the, please listen, the man has the responsibility to, the man can choose what goes to his heart. All right. It makes sense. All right. So is he able to convince some of you to come to his party? Or I just added to your point. So now the truth is the man is important. But the man understands that something is important. What is the thing that is important? Which was what you were saying. The man chooses what goes to his heart. Because he knows that what enters his heart determines the kind of man. Who here wants to prosper? Who here wants to live long? 80, 90, 120. There's a contest on 120 right now. Kenneth Copeland is almost at the finishing line. Bishop Epo is chasing him right behind him. Pastor Della almost hit that finishing line. Stopped at 114. So they are stirring up young people right now. You know, the owner of this facility just clocked 70. Some like few days back, like 2 weeks ago. You know, and he said, Pastor, I'm a young man. I have 50 more years to go. I said, yeah, Baba 2 is on the track. You know, that Baba Shinobitu is on that track right now. So listen, people are running. It's a serious race for 120. Who in this place is interested? Alright, hold on. As he thinketh where? Hold on. Now, the thinking in his heart is what we are doing here. This thinking in his heart is not just, I just had a wishful thought. This is the real thing you believe, which is beyond the words you say. Eat and drink, he said unto you, but his heart is not with you. So that means the real man moves in the direction his heart is going to. Are you getting me? Now, I know in Christ we are prosperous, but what me saying, if you would want to, I'm stirring up desire. I'm sure we'd like to be very prosperous here, right? Who wants to live a life full of health and wealth? Listen. Do you know that you like when, I don't know if you've seen some of these things on Facebook, you know, some people don't spray anymore. They use spraying machine, right? Spraying gun, just, and they'll be spraying money. And you're wishing that, well, lie, I'm the one in that party where they are spraying me. Please listen. Whether those people are good people or bad people, they're able to bring money out of their pockets. You know, you can determine life by things. Things. And you wake up in the morning crying because you do not have... Are you with me now? Because you don't have things. You feel you're not beautiful enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not qualified enough, nobody wants you enough, all because you do not have what? Things. But something is superior to things. And many times we miss that one. We've never cried when we didn't put anything in our hearts. We cried because there was nothing to bring out of our pockets. Are you here now? We didn't cry because we couldn't feed ourselves the word of God. But we're crying because we couldn't go to the party. Or they have the shoe to wear, the cloth to match. There is a good man. He has a good treasure in his heart. From there, he will bring out the good things. That means if I don't have the things I want right now, I should work on something. The treasure in my heart. Oh, glory to God. Are you getting this thing? I should work on it. Hail. I told you a story of a lady some Sundays ago, maybe a few months back. But I saw her recently because I preached for herself and her husband. They pastor a church right now. She's a mother of three children. And I told them, you know, I was at their house and I said, I told your story one day in church. Well, I've told the story more than once. That there was this lady who every quarter, that means every 3 months, she must be admitted in the hospital. I didn't say she falls ill. The doctor has to attend to her. Every quarter. I've personally, as at that time, a pastor, gone to visit her in the hospital. Then they had this family hospital at Oshodi. So I came into Lagos to do a few things. And I was told, oh, she's in hospital again. No? So I had to go see her every 3 months, she ends up in hospital. Was that bad? But she got on God's word. And sometimes I wish I could tell you that this thing vanishes in 3 months. Vanishes in 2 weeks. Listen to me. This is where consistency of application and determination comes in. She would listen to the word, speak the word, you know, do what sometimes people get to do. You know, and say, I don't want to, you know, see the doctor yet. I'm fine this time around. I'm going to be okay. Eventually, they have to carry her from Futa. Then she schooled in Futa. Now, Korea, and they move her to Lagos. School clinic will tell you we cannot handle this case again. And then once again, she ends up in hospital. And at those points, you know, some people get to wonder, so is my faith working? Is my faith not working? Is my faith working? Whatever it is, if you need to carry your body to the doctor for injection, subject your body to them. The heart of man is a place nobody can get to. While you are being treated medically, be attending to your own heart. Are you understanding me? But because you felt your faith didn't work and you gave up on attending to your heart, you will not be a good man, you'll be a sick man, even inside your heart. You would accept that this is my lot. This is my portion in life. But she kept working on it. Working on it. She ends up in the hospital. She works on it, ends up in the hospital. After a while, it became twice a year. After a while, it became once a year. Talking to her, she was like, Pastor, I've not even been to all this thing in years. I said, I know. That's why I can share your story. She hasn't been to the hospital in years. She's a mother of three children. She pastors a church with her husband. Husband is senior pastor of church. But I know that story. I was there. I pastored her in campus ministry. I've seen her in the hospital. I've seen her not well. That her mother even had to call. She came to a doctor for a function, something. She stayed around us. We were the ones that had to be, are you okay? Use auto time up. You know, call Lagos. Lagos is calling us. Is she okay now? Can we carry her to tomorrow? So I've seen someone move from I must always be sick to I don't have to be sick. I can stand on God's word. To now I'm no longer that lady that was needing that amount of medical attention. But this whole thing might have taken about 3 years, maybe a bit longer. I'm saying this because I'm about to introduce you to the book of Mark that I wanted to read last week. Every farmer plants with an expectation. Every farmer is intentional. And that's what the church has to learn. And that's why Jesus used planting, used farming to teach us how the word works. Everybody loves SOLCC in Ijebode. But maybe if you met us the first 3 months, maybe you might not love us. I don't know. No keyboard. No drum set. First 2 months, no pulpit. First few midweek services we had, once there's no electricity, it was candle. Candle, not torchlight. No torchlight. Candle, you come down the road, you buy candle, you cut it. Put it there, light it, we finish the service. After that, then I borrowed generator from my friend, Pastor Bella. That since we don't have midweek services on the same day, so we can borrow small generator from him, so whenever there's no electricity, we can run on generator. That was this church, this one. This SOLCC that you're inside. After that, then my mom gave us, and I passed my neighbor generator as a seed. But this is the church. Now you come on Sundays, there are hundreds of people in the services. People are getting blessed. The grace of God seems evident. No, that grace was at work. But that grace is what you sow as a seed. You sow it. How? Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10 says, I am what I am. How? By the grace of God, let's see that verse so I'll show you something. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Watch this. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I did what? Labored more abundantly than how many people? That they all. Well, not me anyway, but. So the grace of God enables us to labor so that we can take a better advantage of that same grace. So you find Christians giving up too soon. Quitting too quickly. Quitting too easily. It's not because you spoke 3 weeks by stress I'm healed that Jesus is about to hang on the cross for your sake. He died before he showed up. So the reality of healing is secure in the heart of the Father and in God's plans for your own life. What you do by faith and confession is you lay hold on what already has been given unto you. Every farmer knows that when I plant, I must weed. True or false? Because if I do not weed, certain things will compete for space, compete for air, and choke out the harvest I am looking for. And that's what Mark is dealing with. Matthew same anyway, but I just, you know, want to pick a few things that Jesus said in Mark after he dealt with the parable of the sower. Because you find someone saying, this year is the year for marriage. Amen. 3-4 weeks down the line, 5-7 weeks down the line, the person cannot say the same statement with the amount of boldness that he or she said it with some weeks ago. Something has happened to that seed. Who is understanding me? Something has happened to your seed. You are allowing something to affect the seed. Ah, this year, I'm flying with supernatural prosperity. I'm flying. You get to the office and they announce that they need to cut back. And then they didn't remove you from the office, but they cut down your salary. Or maybe they even took you off completely. One major telecom still did that in the month of, was it May now? Or end of February, March, April, end of April to May. And just yanked off many, many of their old hands. And then God says that is your year of flight. And by April, they sack you in the office. When next you hear flight, would you want to say flight? That's why the parable of the sower is the mother of parables. Because a son will come to scorch that thing on ground. Affliction will arise because of the sake of the word. Are you willing to stand? There are people that say, Pastor, it's not vision, vision, vision care. I have vision, vision. God knows it's not vision, it's money. There is no vision that doesn't have the context of money. That's why visions are backed up by faith. Everybody that had a great vision that came to pass didn't have the money. So don't talk vision. The market woman too has vision. If you ask her, she'll tell you. She doesn't want to be in that market, in that shop. She wants to own a shopping complex. The guy that is selling okrika, bend down, he has his own vision too. He wants to go to Dubai to be buying things. Everybody has a vision. It's the pursuit that is different. It's in the pursuit. And the grace of God is available to pursue properly. Anybody learning something here? So Mark. Let's do Mark. So who is more important? The heart, the ground, or the man? Mark 4. Now, you remember the parable of sower, right? Please allow me today, we will not read that parable, we'll just come after the parable. Hey, let's read it. Verse 13. Mark 4:13. Let's read it. Are you here? See, I'm making progress. I'm moving forward. I flourish every day in every way. All things that concern me work, move, live, flourish. Every area of my life is moving forward. I'm never stagnant. I'm never static. Listen, maybe you're here. You've tried your hands on very many things. Things don't work. People have said many things about you. You're lazy. Blah, 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 blah. And you know you're not. So the rest is not for us to judge. But you believe you're not. Listen, two things you need to do. One is to get the wisdom of God on the next step to take. Hear me. Also, now I'm talking of what you need to do spiritually speaking. Secondly is fill your heart with the word. Hi. Listen. I know there are many other things I can say, do this, do that, but fill your heart. We'll see why. Fill your heart with the word. So Mark 4:13. And he said unto them, know ye not what? This parable, how then will you know all parables? The sower soweth. Underline that verse, please. The sower sows the word. 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 All right. Verse 15. And these are they by where? The wayside. Where the word is what? Sown. But when they have heard the word, Satan comes when? Immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they heard the word immediately received it. How? They were jumping after service. They were screaming, giving themselves high five. Please, all of that is not wrong. It's just a step in the process. Watch verse 17. And they have no what? Root, what I'm teaching you gives you root. They have no root in themselves, and so they endure but for what? A time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the sake of the word, immediately they are what? They kept saying, money comes, I receive, and money did not come. They give up. They heard, when you sow, so they started sowing. It looked like they were not receiving. They gave up. You know, Bible already says in Galatians that be not weary in well doing, because in due season you will reap if you don't faint. So we need to train believers to stop fainting and to keep doing the things they need to do. All right, so verse 18. And these are they that are sown amongst where? Thorns. Such, they hear the word, and the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes what? Unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on stony ground, such as hear the word, receive the word, they bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some what? Please go back to verse 14. 14 says, the sower. Now verse 15, read 15 with me. Want to go? These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard the word, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that is sown. Takes away the word that is sown. Child of God, this is your assignment. Sow the word in your heart. Sow it. I've told the story a number of times. I had a privilege of encouraging someone with that story again today. When church began in 2007, we had had a weekly meeting at Mosun Cafe, the old one that ran for a few weeks. And then we began here with about 7 people. Of course, kept inviting people and all of that. And we just never were able to cross 20 people in attendance. That means even if we were 15 last week Sunday and 10 new people come this new Sunday, instead of us to be 25, some people will be missing from the last one, so just never went beyond 20. Every day, I really need to have people to counsel and attend to, and sometimes that could be good. So you have attention to be able to do things that will bless even the people that you want to minister to. So at this middle floor, I paced the floor with a number of scriptures, not too many, and keep meditating on scriptures like Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord make rich, add no sorrow to it. I carry a chair, sit at the back, and I know it's small now, but that time it looked very big. You know, go to the very back of the auditorium and sit down there, close my eyes, open my eyes, close my eyes, open my eyes, close my eyes. I picture the place filled. I picture the seats filled. And back then also there was, you know, this revelation that God gave us in Isaiah chapter 60, and I taught it some years later, you know, and then keep declaring, sons and daughters, they come, your daughters are not at your side. I mean, you do that and do that. In fact, Isaiah 60 was my alarm clock, so every morning I had this audio, Isaiah 60 on my phone then. When it just starts, arise, shine, your light is come, the glory of the Lord is upon. I wish I could tell you that after doing that for 1 week, the next Sunday we had 100 people. No. It took 6 months of doing that about 5 days every week. Six months. Listen to me, please. It took 6 months of talking the word for hours every day, 6 months, before we broke 20. The month we broke 20, we broke 30. The next month we hit 40. Following month we had 50 people. By the time we crossed 1 year, 6 months, took us 6 months to cross 20. Get this supernatural calculation. 6 months to cross 20. By the time we hit 1 year as a church, we cross 100. So 6 months to cross 20, like the remaining 6 months, we'll have 80 people start coming. And before we hit 2 years as a church, we're running 2 services. Middle floor here. Who got that? That means before 2 years, we're almost running like 200. In fact, we had services where people would sit at the staircase. They had to bring out, some of you remember those days, bring out speaker down to the staircase. People sat at the staircase. But this is it. This is where we all choke up. Pastor, I've been saying it for 3 weeks. I've been saying it for 4 weeks. Pastor, I had to do 6 months. Maybe your own case, you might do 9 months. Maybe another person needs to just do 5 hours. Who determines what happens? The heart. The heart. The heart. There's no time. The heart. But listen to this. Pastor, 6 months. Is 6 months not long? Have we not forgotten the 6 months now? Who got what I just said? Have we not forgotten 6 months now? Are we now meditating for 100 people? You know, hey, this your marriage situation, this your financial situation, this your health condition. Why don't you take out time? Even if it's going to take you 2 years. 2 years, Pastor, 2 years. The person, this is now 4th year. The person still hoping that God will do something. If you are taking the 2 years, and it might not have been 2 years, you would have come out of that situation and forgotten about it. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? So the time you think you don't have, you eventually will waste that time. I mean, we left now running 2 services. I remember when God granted us, you know, this middle floor, this ground floor here. And then we came. And then we had to start running our faith for hundreds of people. Listen, we've had services in this church, that in one Sunday service, we had over 200 first timers. Ha! This church. Bola Yasmani, you remember some? This church, Sammy, you put this on our work. This church, one service, 200 first timers, it did not happen once. One service, no guest singer. One service, that means what was the whole faith for church at the time became faith for first timer. Now we can enter church on a Sunday morning and not release faith, and we are not thinking that we will have 200 people that day. Even Christmas and New Year, where people had gone home, we didn't have 200, we didn't have 300. And some people are still in this same city saying Ijebode has demonic oppression, so ministries don't thrive. No, your thinking needs to be converted. You need a transformation in your thinking. Are you understanding this? And I'm saying this thing so you understand that you are in a place where they have proven what they are teaching you. I remember back then, 2007, a friend of mine in Lagos asked me to come do a leadership meeting with a few of their leaders. And then he asked me to do about 2 or 3 Sunday afternoons. So once I'm done preaching here, I take a bus, get down to Lagos. And then I meet with him and his leaders, teach them. At one of those times, I taught what I called then the law of the seed. And I told them then, I said, guys. And as at that time, they were larger than our own church. Maybe I was talking to like 15 people, so they were larger than us. I said, guys, what I'm teaching you now is what I'm doing. And I'm bold enough to teach it because I'm confident it works. And I told them, I said, in a few months, you will see the results in our church. They were 15, or maybe almost 20, but 15 plus. We were not. And in 6 months, and in 7 months, and in 9 months, and in 1 year, and in 2 years, and in 3 years, and in 4 years. What is the confidence? The sower soweth the word. You need to understand what we are talking about. What is that word? All things were made by the word. Without the word was not anything made that was made. What is this word? Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. What is this word? So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. It will prosper where I send it. It will accomplish what I please. If you take the word, it will produce. And everybody is running after things, like I said earlier. Not the treasure in the heart. Take the word. I love the way Peter calls it. He says it is incorruptible seed. Seed that can never die. Seed that can never perish. He says it lives and it abides forever. The flower withers. The grass will fail. But the word of God will endure forever. That is this word we're talking about. Pastor, are you saying if I stay on the word, my health will be fine? Before you were born, your health was sorted by the word. Now take that word and plant it in your heart. Pastor, my finances are messed up. There are many natural things you could do. But while you are doing all those ones, keep putting the word in you. How did Joseph prosper? They saw that, in the house of Potiphar, they saw that God was with him. You can find those verses. Let me not enter all of that yet. Listen, see this, please. We'll break down better that part. Maybe next week. Verse 22. Mark 4:23. Yeah, thank you. If any man has an ear, tell anybody, do you have ears? Please listen now. All right? Watch this. 24. And he said unto them, what? Take heed. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. Take heed what you hear. For with the measure you meet, it will be what? Measure to you and unto what? You that hear shall what? Amplify it, please. Do you have ears? Please, I beg you. Don't miss this last part. Till we close. He said to them, be careful what you are what? Hearing. Notice this. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear will be the measure of power and knowledge that will come back to you, and more besides will be given when you hear. The more I chew on the word, the substance in it will come out to me. The more I chew on the word, the more I chew on the word, the more I chew on the word, the measure of thought and study that you give to the truth you hear is the measure of virtue and knowledge that will flow back to you. If you don't have time here, have time for the word. And let me quickly add, listening to teaching is awesome, but be meditating as you are listening. Find points in those teachings to chew on. Bible reading is good, but meditation is not the same as Bible reading. Pick those places and chew on them. God didn't tell Joshua, read this book every day. It says meditate. Chew this thing. Suck the juice. Talk this thing. Talk it to yourself. Talk it to yourself. Talk it to yourself. Talk it to yourself. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out. Maybe you're here, you're afraid of traveling. Afraid there might be accidents. Don't allow that fear to enter your heart. Talk something to yourself. I'm blessed coming in, I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. No evil befalls me. I'm blessed. What are you doing? You're reprogramming, you're renewing the thoughts of your heart. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear is the measure of virtue and knowledge that will flow back. How much do you want to suck from that word? Pastor, I don't have time. My day has been busy. Create time in that busy day. Start your day. Talk the word. I beg you. Talk it. During your day, create time. Say something from that word. Listen, people can tell you, oh, our own church, we grew it by doing evangelism. Our own church, we grew it this way. I'll tell you, this one is meditation. S-O-L-C-C. It is primarily and predominant. Even the evangelism or outreaches were assisted or anointed because of meditations and leadings of the Spirit. Haven't we gone out before and nobody came? Waka, 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 walk everywhere and nobody's responding. But this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate therein day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then you will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Blessed is the man that walks on the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight in the law of the Lord. And in that law he will meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. He will bring forth his own fruit in his own season. His leaves will not wither. And anything he does will prosper. Customers are not coming. Complaining might not solve it. Take the word. Take the word. Take the word. Because that word will not return to him void. Take the word. Take the word. Everywhere I go, pastor, people turn me down. Take the word. The word is incorruptible seed. Verse 26, Mark 24. We could leave the amplified now. Mark 24. All right, let me see how to tie this thing up. Have you learned something tonight? Watch this. Because I said, don't miss everything you say till the end. Doesn't mean miss the ones before. He said, so what? As if a man should cast seed where? Question, what is the seed? What is the ground? Thank you. What is the seed? What is the heart? So that means he's talking to us here about the word in the heart of a man. Are you clear? So is the kingdom of God as if a man should what? Cast seed into what? Into the ground. And he will sleep and rise when? Day and night, and the seed would what? Spring up and grow, and the man does not know how the word operates in your heart. You don't know. Next verse, please. For the earth bringeth forth fruit. How? This is a mystery now. Now, I'm using the word mystery like some older preachers would. All right? But I'm just saying, not mystery like we can't understand, but I'm about to explain, so it's simple. When seed naturally meets ground, what starts happening? A process begins. Are you clear? When the seed hits the ground, it enters the ground, a process begins. Are you sure? When the word hits your heart, process begins. That's what it's saying. For the earth brings forth fruit, how? Of itself. First, what? The blade, and then? The air, and then, so many times you don't jump to the harvest of what you're looking for immediately. There's a process. But once the word gets into your heart, something begins. Something begins. Something begins. Maybe you said, oh, thank you, Father. Oh, the blessing is upon me. Thank you, therefore, because I'm rich and no sorrow is added. And for the next 1 week, you have to borrow gari, borrow sugar, borrow pepper, borrow onions. Don't stop. When a farmer plants, he doesn't go to uproot the thing he planted, does he? So don't stop. After you plant, listen, Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul planted. What's the next one? Apollos watered, then what happened? God gave increase. So after you plant, what's the next thing to do? Water this thing. How did Paul plant? By teaching them and preaching to them. How did Apollos water? By saying preaching and teaching. Basically keep speaking. Don't stop. God will give increase to that thing. No farmer lost just, Pastor, me, I'm not seeing money. All this, I'm rich. It's not working. We're not asking you to confess. We're asking you to reprogram your heart. Listen. We are not asking you to confess. Hear me. I'm saying something technical. We're asking you to reprogram. Please come. Hope you don't mind. Quickly, come. Thank you. Can you come up here? A good man, out of what? Good treasure in his heart to bring forth what? So imagine, illustration, example, he's a broke guy. So out of the brokenness of his heart, nothing comes out. Watch this. That means he tries to do things. Are they working or they are not working? He needs favor. He even wants to start business and someone says, if I can borrow you money, let me see what you can gather. I tried gathering for 3 years. Nobody could gather anything. Are you getting something? He now reconditions his heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it, all the favor you are running around town looking for, it comes out of the heart. By the time you reprogram your heart, the same places you went to before and nothing worked, you will enter. They will begin to favor you. Now, because you have reconditioned your heart, you have turned yourself to a magnet of favor. Why? Because favor now flows out of you, so the people that come in contact with you can only favor you. The thing to work on is here. The place to work on is the heart. So this is not just, I'm speaking. Pastor, I've been speaking for 3 days. It's not working. Forget the fact that you're confessing. Tell yourself, I'm reprogramming myself. I'm reconditioning my heart. I'm reconditioning. If it takes 3 years, I'm going to stay there. Now, it doesn't mean I don't have a job, or I don't get a job, or I don't work for people for free. And no. Go and be doing, while you're busy doing all the things you want to do, be reprogramming your heart. When this thing hits, thank you. It's like when they are digging for water now, then when they hit a gusher, boom, water blows out. But before that, they are digging. Each time you are speaking the word to your heart, boom, you are digging. And when are you going to stop? I'm not stopping till I hit a gusher. I'm not stopping. Listen, because out of your heart will do what? Shout flow. Flow is not trickle. Flow is not flow. Shout flow. Imagine when prosperity flows from your heart. Imagine when healing is flowing from your heart. No wonder I said they are life to those that find them. Medicine to all, not some of their flesh, all, every part of their body, because something is flowing. It's pumping. It's, they wonder how come you're always energized. Can keep something is flowing. It's flowing from inside you. Flow is not trickle. Are you getting this picture? Flow is not it's coming out small, like when the bowl is not flow is a gusher out of your heart. Poof, poof, poof. Prosperity is pumping out, blessings are pumping out. Jacob was a good man with a good treasure in his heart, but no money in his pocket and no pockets. But anyway, he entered, the blessing was speaking for him. That means I don't pursue things. I pursue the treasure in the heart. Because once my heart has the things it needs to have, other things will bubble out of it. It says the earth will bring forth fruit of itself or herself. First the blade. Now the money starts coming. Before, no money. Now, 2,000 extra. 5,000 on top of your salary. Listen, never live on your salary. It is a restriction on the blessing of God upon your life. Never do it. Never do it. Never live on top of your allowances. It's a restriction on blessing of God upon you. My God shall supply all my needs according to his own riches in glory. Who said your allowance cannot be 5,000 and you live like you earn 15,000? who said your salary cannot be 10,000, you live like you earn 18,000. How would the rest 8K comes? The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. And don't call anything a fluke. Don't call anything, it just happened by circumstances. Maybe this month, you have 10,000 and every morning you wake up and say, thank you because I'm not restricted to my blessing. I'm not restricted to my salary. Thank you, Father, because your blessing is working for me. So I live more. I enjoy favor above my labor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Money responds to me. Thank you, because this season I have more than 15,000 coming to me and your salary is 10K. That might be where they decide to declare bonus. So assume they now declared bonus, they gave you the 5K, then your boss now says, I like your face, you were working extra, take extra 3. So you get 18. Your mind will tell you, it was just for this month. Listen, don't stay there. New month starts. Thank you, Father, because it's a new month. Thank you for last month. Thank you, because I'm not moved by what happened last month. I know I got the money, but I'm moved by your word. Your word declares, the blessing makes me rich and has no sorrow. I'm made rich, I had no sorrow. And you're doing that. This month, it might be that someone just said, please, can you quickly help me do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? You do, person says, take, no. I don't want to money. And you walk away. And person fights 3 people to get your account number and transfers it there. A different circumstance. The third month, again, another circumstance. For, you don't need to know the how it will come. But never live on that salary. Or else you will restrict your dreams and visions. You will restrict the blessing of God upon you and you will become greedy. Because all you have is all you want to spend. Even if you want to give from it, you say, etokulele, this is what is left. No. He gives seed to the sower. And then he gives bread to the eater. Solomon now pauses and says, cast that your bread on top of the water. He says, after many days you find it. But when people don't understand how that is, they just feel... Then Pastor Matthias Mondo will say, salary is just shalari. Just comes and it goes. Let's end this thing. For the earth brings forth fruit of itself. First the blade, then the ear, after the full corn in the air. So comes line upon line, process by process. But do you know when the blade comes out, you've not seen the fruit yet. So that means you can still allow that thing to be choked. And it won't produce. So because you saw the blade, because you saw the ear, does not mean you have seen the corn. Don't stop until you see the corn. You're not looking for blade. You're not looking for air. You want your corn. So keep talking, keep speaking, keep standing till every corn you're looking for comes out. The last portion, so we could close this thing. Have you learned tonight, please? Verse 30. This one began with, this is the kingdom of God. Verse 30 again. Verse 30. And he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God, or with what will I compare it? It is like a what? Grain of mustard seed. Again, seed will be what? The word. Which is sown where? Earth will be what? Heart. And is less than the seeds that are where? In the earth. Alright? Watch this. But when it is sown, it will grow. It will become greater than all the herbs. Watch this. It will shoot out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow. When you look at that mustard seed, it's tiny. It says plant it. When that thing hits the ground, kabaya, it will grow. It will grow over and above its other competitors. It will now become a covering that other people can come and hide under it. When you hold on to the word of God and you plant it in your heart, it will look like it's not working. Stay with that thing. The word of God will grow higher than your doubts. Have you ever had to meditate on God's word? You had doubts in your heart, but the more you spoke, you had confidence instead of doubt. The word has a way of rising above its competitors. Alright, Acts 19:20 says, so mightily grew the word of God that it prevailed. The word will rise. It will rise and it will keep shooting up till even people around you will come and start enjoying from that word. Did you get what I said? When you understand prosperity by the word, you know you become a covering for other people. When you understand healing and health by the word, or protection by the word. Archbishop Benson, I was in a plane one day, and the engines were failing. The man stood up and said, engine, walk! And engines responded immediately. Don't you think the next time he's flying, people want to sit beside him? Eh? Jesse Duplantis is an American preacher. You know, he was at the airport, he was going for a flight. He said, God told him that, don't fly this plane, it's going to crash. So right there at the airport, he just said it out of his mouth. He said, I'm not flying that, it's crashing. He said, people looked at him like a crazy preacher. You know, and the plane took off. And started, so they had to forcefully bring it back and land it. He said, everybody was trying to look for which plane he was waiting for. That they were not fighting. They had to now ask him, is this one crashing? Is it crashing? Listen, when you grow on how to be led, other people will line up behind you to know how they can be led. So when you plant it, but initially, how do I get led? You miss it today, you get it tomorrow. You listen to the message. You listen, listen, listen. You hit it today, get it tomorrow. You listen, listen. After a while, people will respect you for knowing how to be led. You'll say, whatever she says is final. Whatever he says is final. If he says that they are closing down the company tomorrow, they will close it down. Better resign. So the truth is this. When you feed on the word for yourself, you'll become a global person. Other birds will come and lodge under you. They'll come and find safety and security because the word has produced for you. Glory to God. So shall my word be. That goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I please. It will prosper where I send it. What has God said about you? His word will not go back to him void. Did he say with long life will he satisfy you? Did he say you are blessed going out and blessed coming in? What has he said about you? Did he say that there will be none that is barren in our land? Whatever it is that God has said. If you don't know anything God said at all, as long as you are ready to meditate, then you can stand on Psalm 1 verse 3. I'm that tree planted by the rivers of water. I bring forth my fruit in my season. That means baby fruit in baby season, marriage fruit in marriage season, travel abroad fruit in travel abroad season, build house fruit in build house season. I mean million flow in the million season, billion flow in the billion season. Listen, I bring forth my fruit in my season. My leaves would never wither. It means my last year will never be better than my present year. Every year I'll always be green. Every year I'll always be flourishing. Every year I'll always be moving. Nothing will ever go wrong about me. My leaves will never wither. And anything I do will prosper. Shout anything. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands and give God praise. The seed is the word. The heart is the ground. My heart. I put the word in my heart. I put the word in my heart. I put the word in my heart. I'm led by the Spirit of God. Everywhere I go, I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm a good man. My steps are ordered by God. I'm at the right place, at the right time, doing the right things, with the right sets of people. I'm not lazy. I'm diligent. Therefore, I stand before kings and not before mean men. All things are working together for my good. You don't have to have several of those scriptures. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I will never lack. He leads me. He makes me. He directs me. And he sets a table before me. Chew on the word. We give you praise tonight. Whatever they said is not working. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. What people say about you is not the final statement. Are you hearing me tonight? Many of you know Reverend Carey of Kingswell, Reverend Carey Jesus. The doctors told him he had a low sperm count. And please, when we say these things, we're not going against, you know, or maybe, you know, doctors in the house. No, we're simply saying the word of God is superior. Because it is superior. They told him he had a low sperm count. They tested and kept on testing. The last time they still were coming from the hospital, low sperm count, they found out about 2 or 3 weeks later, Pastor Maya was pregnant. They checked, the baby was 3 weeks old. It means even the day they still told us it is low sperm count, baby had entered the womb. Pastor Biodun Fatoyinbo of Koza, his wife was told she would never give birth. They have 4 children. From never give birth, no IVF. As in never, they told them, you will never, this one cannot give birth. People have walked this word. And people are still walking the word. The word is bigger than any mountain. Are you here tonight? Go ahead and speak God's word to yourself. to God. The word is final authority. The word is final authority. All things were made by the word. Without the word was not anything made that was made. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I please. It will prosper where I send it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. I didn't say pray. Don't pray. It would end soon. Don't pray. Speak the word. Talk scriptures. Talk Bible verses to yourself. Don't pray. Don't say, Father, I'm asking you to meet my needs. It is not prayer time. I'm helping you to understand the place of just meditate. Take a walk in that your small bedroom, between your small mattress and your door, and keep pacing and declare, the blessing of God makes me rich. It adds no sorrow. The blessing of God is on my life. So I'm rich academically. I'm rich financially. And you're just saying that for 30 minutes before you go to school. You say for 30 minutes before you go to work. During the office hours or school time, you say it again. You come back after work or after school, you say it again. You go to bed at night, you're saying it. You go to pee in the middle of the night, you're saying it. You're saying it day and night. Until your mind is reconfigured. Until your mind is converted. Until your mind is transformed. Until your mind is renewed. You keep saying it. So mightily will grow the word. It will prevail over the situation. That health condition will change. Even when you've forgotten the fact that you had a bone condition, you had a back condition, you had a kidney problem. Even when you have assumed it wasn't working again, you'll just find out that for a number of weeks now, you didn't need the medications anymore, but you didn't know. Find out that now you're pregnant. Just find out that the word has worked for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he will meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. He will bring forth his own fruit in his season. His leaves also will not wither. Anything he does will prosper. That's your testimony, right? So I leave you with that verse. You're going to go home. Please read this verse. Please, there's a good man with good treasure and with good things. The most important thing is what? The good treasure of the heart. Don't pursue things. Things will come, things will go, but when it is in your heart, out of your heart will flow the issues of life. Out of the abundance of your heart, you will pump out all the things you need. Baby will come, house will come, job will come. Listen, out of the heart will flow all the issues you need in life. So the best thing to protect is the heart. Amen. Lift your hands again and thank him for the teaching. We receive his word. We receive his word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We receive your word. We receive your word. We receive your word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It's a good season, isn't it? Glory to God. Say, I make progress. I fly. Glory to God. Amen. The word works, right? The word is surer than anything else. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot of God's word would ever go unfulfilled. So it's better to just base your family, your finance, your health, the life of your children. Base everything on top of the word. The word is sure. Things might look, allow my Yoruba, sege sege, rada rada. You might even look like you're not organized, like this area of your life is not up to. Stay with the word. The word has a way of putting all things together. Yeah? Hebrews 11 from verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2 says, by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3 says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that things which are seen did not come out of things that appear. Stay with the word. It will help you frame everything. Every sege sege, rada rada, it will come together. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. Stay with the word. It will come together. You will find yourself flourishing, enjoying favor.